Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Lance knows him a little better than I do, but I'm going to introduce him. It's Larry Zerline, former NFL and college offensive line coach, joining us here and still working
start,
with guys.
Where did he get his start? Do you know?
He got his college start at the University of Houston.
Yes. And he was one of the ones behind the scene who was trying to work to get Bill Yeoman inducted into the Billy Willingham inducted into the Cougar Hall of Fame. Larry Zerline joins us now. But I know you've, for Cougar fans, I know the guy who hired you was Bill Yeoman. Why don't you tell the story about, before we get into the Ben Roethlisberger stuff, tell the story about how you were hired at the University of Houston. You were a high school, I always think it's interesting, you start as a high school coach and you had your goals set out. Well, I guess why don't you start there? How your goals brought you and me to the Houston area.
Well, real quickly, I started off as an eighth grade coach out in Abernathy, and as soon as I started, that was 72. I said I'm going to be a college coach in 75, or a 4A coach in 75. At that time, 4A was the largest division, and so I quit my job after my third year in Abernathy. After the last game, I went in and resigned, and so I didn't leave myself any choice but to go try to find that 4A job. And it wasn't until May that I got the 4A job, and that was Lamar Consolidated. And my next goal was to be a college coach in 78. So when 78 rolled around, that was 3 years later, when 78 rolled around, I volunteered as a part-time coach over at Houston. A part-time coach meant that you worked full-time and got part-time pay. And we were making $400 a month, and we had three of you kids. And very fortunately for me, at the end of spring training, Coach Yeoman took me over to the old Shamrock Hotel for lunch. And he said, "Well, I watched you this spring. You didn't screw it up too bad, so I'm putting you on full time." So that's how I got on at Houston.
Well, Marcia is a saint. Okay.
Yes, she is.
What wife would say, yeah, go ahead, quit your job without a job and go make $400 a month with three kids? That's all.
Yeah, well, it may have been because we were only making $350 a month in high school. I don't know. It was quite a gamble. It really was. And things just worked out. Thank goodness for Coach Yeoman. It worked out really well.
And then you were part of the University of Houston team that lost to Joe Montana. It's famous for that.
Soup game.
But multiple Cotton Bowl appearances and the Garden State Bowl. I remember you telling me a story about you were in New York for what was called the Garden State Bowl, and some guy was running down New York, and guys were chasing him that's when New York was New York back in the early 80s.
I think it still is.
And the Sun Bowl out in El Paso, and I think it's kind of I lament, and I know you and I talked about this. It's a different time. There's a lot of different things to consider, but it was just different when New Year's Day rolled around, and you would roll out an extra TV, and Pat Donahoe would come in and we're trying to watch, have as many TVs in a room as possible to watch bowl games. Bowl games just used to mean a lot more than they mean now, which is, it's kind of sad to lose that a little bit.
Yeah, that was, of course, when we were still coaching high school. And bowl day, we would put every TV we had, which was two, in one room so we could watch them all. And your mom would make a vegetable plate and, that kind of thing. And we watched those games all day. But at that time, there were four major bowls, and then there were a few others. And it was a big, big, big deal to be in a bowl game as a college team. It was a big deal to be in a bowl game, and especially one of the four majors. And of course, now it's still a big deal to be in a bowl game, but you know, almost everybody can get into one if you just have a halfway decent season. You know, back in those days, the fun thing was if you went to a bowl game, you had had a good season, and really the bowl game was not going to count against you. I mean, everybody was just happy to be there, and if you lost it, you know, you weren't going to get fired for it. But these days, a bowl game, a loss can get you fired. I don't know if it's that much fun anymore.
Larry Zierlein with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, the Steelers offensive line when they won the Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback, and that's why we are calling Ben coming up with his last regular season game. His last start in Pittsburgh was just this past Monday night. Maybe you can give us some insight into Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, Ben is he was a great competitor. He loved to play. In the early days, he didn't really love to study so much. He really winged it pretty much. You know, I always had the feeling that after he dropped back and set, then he started looking around and saying, where are these receivers? He did. He was just a guy that loved to play. He loved to compete, but he was not a guy who put a lot of study time in the early days. And so, therefore, he was scrambling around a lot. He was getting hit a lot. He was getting sacked. But he was extending plays and just making some unbelievable throws. So, you know, for an offensive line coach, it was, and for the offensive line, it was a little frustrating because, you know, we were taking the heat for the sacks, et cetera. But at the same time, I have a Super Bowl win because of that guy. You know, the guy just, he won games for us. You know, you can't win a Super Bowl if you don't have a quarterback. I mean, there's only been about one that's ever done, and that was Baltimore, you know, 20-some years ago. And this guy meant a great deal to the city of Pittsburgh, to the Steelers team. I think he was a little bit like Brett Favre. You know, Favre loved to play. He loved to compete, but he wasn't the biggest studier in the world. This kid, Roethlisberger, was he'll be a Hall of Famer for sure. It was great to be on the same team with him, and you always knew that when he was there, you had a chance.
Yeah, you know, speaking of a chance, Ben drove you guys down for the winning score at that incredible catch, Santonio Holmes in the end zone. It was reviewed, and he got the toe down. But a lot of people don't realize, I mean, Ben was doing that. You guys had unbelievable problems with Darnell Dockett, and I don't know, there was one other defensive lineman. I can't remember who was putting the pressure on. But you had five offensive linemen, and there was a few of them that never played again. I mean, you guys were all beat up front, and Ben had to really make some things happen there.
Yeah, we were. I think, you know, it's been a while ago, but I know Darnell Dockett never played after that. Darnell Stapleton. Darnell Dockett was their defensive tackle who really gave us problems, and he was a great player for a lot of years. But Darnell Stapleton was a free agent the year prior to that out of Rutgers. And our starting right guard got hurt early in that season of 2008, I think game three, and Darnell came in and played, but he had really bad knees. But he went through the Super Bowl, played in the Super Bowl, was against Dockett, which Dockett was one of the top ones back in those days. And anyway, the next year we came back, and Darnell just couldn't go anymore. So he finally had to retire. But I think, I know in that game, Justin Hardwick, his knees were so bad at that point that during practice that week, he was our center, and as I recall, when he snapped the ball, we just say, take one step and don't go anymore, because his knees were just bothering him so bad. And in that game, we had a safety against us late in the game, and it was because of a twist where Justin tried to change direction and couldn't. He just couldn't push off that right knee, so he grabbed the guy and pulled him down in the end zone for a safety. Our left guard, Chris Kamiatu, his elbows and shoulders were just a mess. And I can't remember about the two tackles, but it was kind of a makeshift group that we started the year with a different right tackle on right guard, or a left tackle on right guard, and both of them got hurt. So we were kind of a young inexperienced ragtag bunch, but they played their tails off, and I tell you, the way they protected on that very last drive was really good.
Antonio Brown is a big subject, coach, this week. He says he had ankle problems, and Bruce wanted him to go in the game, and he couldn't go in the game, and that's why he quit. But hearing the stories that you're telling now, as an offensive line coach, how do you got to adjust? Okay, this guy can't push off right. How you got to adjust your blocking?
And that's a Super Bowl, so there's nothing you, like.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Just what do everything you can.
You got to adjust schemes accordingly, huh?
You know what? I think I had some feedback there. I didn't understand what you said, John.
Oh, I was just saying about you got to work as an offensive line coach with all those injuries, right? And you got to adjust on the go because a guy can't push off right or a guy can't push off left.
Yeah, and you know, there's nothing really you can do about it. I mean, you can't just change all your plays to one side or another because you got one guy with a bum leg. You just got to. That is what is so. Admirable about these professional athletes, NFL linemen, I think, in particular. I mean, they're in the trenches. It is a war down there. People don't understand what it's like there. And for those guys to play 16 games back then, now it's 17 games, with their hands, they use their hands on every play. Their hands are getting beat up. Their fingers are broke. Their knees are sore. Their shoulders from the punching and their elbows are sore. And yet they get... They take their Advils or whatever they take, and they go out and play. And you do have to make some adjustments. You get a guy hurt, you got to bring in somebody else. The other thing that's kind of interesting is usually, you know, you're only allowed to suit up so many people in a game, and normally you suit up only 7 offensive linemen. And so you can get thin real quick if you have one injury. And if you have 2 injuries in a game, then you're down to, you know, you have no backup. So yeah, it can be a little bit daunting.
I always wondered why they did that. Why only 7 in a lot of instances? Some teams go 8, but you lose a guy, 2, you're down to nobody.
It doesn't seem to make sense for the for just the quality of play.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense. And coach.
Well, but you're only allowed to dress up, 45? What is it? I can't even remember now.
Right.
Yeah.
46,
but, you know, yeah, 46, yeah.
But, you know, you've got to think about your special teams. You know, you've got those special teams guys, and you got some guys that play nothing but special teams. And it just kind of comes down to a matter of numbers where, we can only afford to have 7 offensive linemen. If you have 5 starters, plus, if you have a tackle who can play tackle and guard, and you have a guard who can play guard and center, then you can go with 7. But if you have a guy who doesn't have position versatility, then you're liable to have to go 8. And when you go 8 offensive linemen, then that takes away one special teams guy. And sometimes that's the difference in winning or losing a game is one play in the special team. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah, and that's why evaluation and building a roster, I mean, there is a skill to it. I mean, you want to find flexible players. You know, something that you talked to us about a couple of years ago when you were watching Texans games for us, when, you know, Texans games seemed to matter more. Deshaun Watson had some of the same elements of Ben Roethlisberger. Big-time playmaker, held the ball for a long, long time. Ben Roethlisberger became one of the quick... Right now, it's the fastest out of his hands, I think, for 2 years in a row, which I didn't know that could ever be the case. Do you think that's something that Deshaun Watson, based on what you've seen, can ever get to a point where he's getting the ball out quickly if he plays again in the NFL as opposed to hanging on to it?
Yeah, I don't know that much about Deshaun Watson. I know Watson, when I was watching those guys and visiting with you guys on Tuesday mornings, I know that Deshaun was a guy that really, he wanted to make the big play. He had confidence in his arm. He had confidence in his ability to escape. And he would really hold on to it a long time. And so whether he can change or not, I can say in Ben's case, and I don't know this for certain, I left there after the 2009 season, and there was a mandate to run the ball more because the Steelers had become a passing team. Always had a reputation as a running team, but we were a passing team, and that's not really what the Steelers wanted. So there was a kind of a mandate to get back to running the ball more. For just because of the Steeler image, And the second thing was they were afraid that, you know, they had invested a lot of money in Ben, and they were afraid that, you know, he wouldn't last long. And so they started running a little bit more. But the other thing that they did is they demanded, I believe, that the pass game get a little bit quicker and shorter routes and more run after catch type of throws. You know, you run quick slants or things like that, and the guy catches the ball and runs with it. And, of course, those are throws that come out quick. So I really think maybe when Todd Haley became the quarterback or the coordinator, I think that that's when they got into the quicker throws and continued up through the next two coordinators. But, you know, you can change to the quicker throws if you make that your offense. If you say we're going to be a quick throw team, a run after catch team, you can do it. I don't think Ben was ever as quite as effective as he was throwing the ball deep, as far as making big plays, yards, scores, etc. I don't think that was ever a game he was comfortable with short throws, but he did adapt.
It's Larry Zierlein, former NFL and college coach, still coaching guys.
Yeah, he's working with draft prospects right now.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, maybe it's more.
Yeah, I'm up in Frisco right now working with a kid at an Exos facility, and then I'm going down to Tampa next week to work with someone, so I'm kind of staying busy.
Me and John were talking about, I mentioned to him that, I don't know, maybe off the air, that you worked with Isaiah Wilson. It's a real shame about what has happened with Isaiah Wilson, you know, as a person. You saw him, and, you know, he seemed to maybe be headed in the right direction just in terms of working out with you. But you just never know once you get on the next level and you get all that access if a guy's ready for it.
No, you really don't. I had Isaiah for 2 weeks down in Phoenix. And, you know, at first I had I was a little reticent about him. And but as the week progressed, and he just looked like a guy that he wanted to learn everything. He had a bunch of questions. And I really, really changed my opinion of him over that two-week period. And I really had high hopes for him. And, you know, I don't know what happened down in Tennessee. You get some money in your pocket, you get time, who knows what it is, but it just seems like he doesn't learn. Now, hopefully, maybe things will work out up at the Giants. I've got a friend coaching up there who said that up to this point, he's been okay.
Well, they just cut him because he falls asleep during all the meetings.
I could have been cut for that.
Yeah. You know, one last thing.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. I didn't know that he'd been cut.
Didn't work out for him there. You got to stay awake for whatever reason. Coaches want you to stay awake during meetings, but I know.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little much to ask, but one last thing. You know, we talk all about we see all the time the Pro Football Focus grades, and you know, you can see if a quarterback's playing pretty well. You can see a wide receiver, what he's doing, whatnot, running back. But them judging offensive line play with the stuff that you've talked about, Coach, that how, you know, and the injuries and, you know, the blocking schemes and everything else, if you're not in that building and if you're not coaching those guys, I would imagine it's hard to judge how good an offensive lineman is doing.
I'm telling you, John, I'm with you. I look at those things sometimes and I say, how do they know? They don't know what the guy's being told. They don't know what his responsibility is or what his technique is. They can even look at the results of the play and not realize whether the guy really did it wrong or did it right. I don't know where they come up with these grades or how they do it. It's interesting. It's something that the fans like to see. And of course, you know, then that gives them, you know, a way to critique, you know, and know who's really playing good. But I don't know how this focus thing comes up. I have no idea.
Well, they made $1 zillion.
Yeah.
They made it. And they're from, and by the way, they're from, it started in,
they're Irish, right?
Ireland. Yeah.
Yeah.
It started in Ireland and, they sold to Chris Collinsworth and now they all live in Cincinnati and they made a bunch of money when they sold it.
I know Paul Alexander, who was the line coach of the Bengals for many years, got involved in it.
Oh yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If you made $1 billion, would you move to Cincinnati?
Of course.
No.
Scotty McChilly?
If I was in Ireland, I might, yeah. Actually, you know, we were in Cincinnati for about how long, Lance? We were there 4 years, I guess. And I really like Cincinnati. It's a great town. It's you know, it's right on the Ohio River. You got Kentucky on one side, Cincinnati on the other. And I thought it was a beautiful place to live.
Tell John who are your coaches there at Cincinnati over time. You had Tomlin, Rex Ryan, right?
Yeah, golly, we had this
Jimbo.
Yeah, guys that went on the NFL. Yeah, we had Rex was there. Don Martindale, who is the coordinator at Baltimore now, he was there.
Wink.
Amos Jones was there. He's now with the Giants. Tomlin was there, of course. Joe Daniels had been in the NFL. He went to Ohio State, Mara place. Joker Phillips became the head coach of Kentucky. Greg Seaman became the tight end coach for the Cowboys. I was there.
Jimbo?
Jimbo was there. We had a heck of a staff. We really did.
That is great. That is Larry Zierlein right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, always great to catch up with you and get the insight. Thanks for joining us, and let's do it again.
Okay, enjoyed it. Thank you.
There's Larry Zierlein right here, ESPN 97.5. And I think he's going to be on, I don't know if he's on 610 or 790 later today.
Hopefully we got the exclusive.
Is he doing is this like his Super Bowl tour?
How about he told me when he was young, in his 20s, he's a head coach at a school, like a 1A or 2A school in Texas. He's like, no, on my goal sheet, it says I got to be at a 4A school, so I quit. But you don't have a job. Sorry, I quit. No safety net. And he found a job. Then he did the same thing again to get to University of Houston. And he called me one day real serious. He's like, hey, have I ever told you about my goal sheet that I had? I said, yeah, you did. He goes, yeah, I had on there, one of my goals was being head coach in Notre Dame. This after Brian Kelly left, he goes, I think I'm going to throw my hat in.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go get it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.